Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, Deirdre Lundy is with us as promised, and we've had so many questions in for Dr. Deirdre Lundy, who's GP and clinical lead of the Complex Menopause Service at the National Maternity Hospital. Lovely to have you with us.
Happy to be here.
Great to have you back, because the reason we wanted to talk to you is HRT was in the news, obviously, because the government was talking about providing it free to many thousands of women on the programme. And when that was being discussed here, we had lots of questions in, medical questions from people. So that's why we wanted you to come in. And as we expected, so many questions on my screen here. So I think, Deirdre, we'll just get straight to them, will we? And rattle through as many as we can. So this listener says, can you please, please talk about chronic migraine and fatigue in menopause? What can be done about it? Is that common?
Yeah, it's not an unusual presentation. Mm-hmm. Some people who've never had a migraine get their first one as they go through perimenopause or menopause. Some people who've always had a bit of migraine find that the character of it changes, or they're getting worse episodes or more frequent episodes. Unfortunately, like so many things, using hormones for symptom control sometimes helps, but not always. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's a multidisciplinary thing. You kind of have to work with your colleagues in the migraine services to try to find the best combination of therapies, whether that be a little bit of counseling, CBT, some migraine preventative medication, and there's amazing new ones on the market, looking at things that trigger you and changing your lifestyle, and obviously some hormone manipulation if it's appropriate.
Okay, yeah. So it's very difficult for people who don't have access to your service, and we've had this conversation before. So many people who would love to come and see you there at Holles Street can't. So what do they do? The GP is obviously the starting
point. And if your GP, your personal GP, doesn't really feel like, or you're not feeling like they're sort of engaging, or maybe they could be a little bit more upskilled, you can always try a conversation with a Well Woman Center or family planning clinic, because they are, by definition, women's health resources for Irish people. Mm-hmm. You know, now they're not without cost, but generally they're very affordable, say, compared to going to like a private menopause clinic can be quite expensive. I don't know if you know, but they're, you know, they're big charges.
And that works for some people, but for the vast majority of people, you're dealing with the GP. Hopefully that will work.
And if you have a medical card, you're entitled to get that care for free, but this wouldn't be core curriculum. You know, menopause is barely touched upon in medical school and in GP training. You could end up with a GP trainer who loves menopause and talks about it all the time, or you could hear nothing. Mm-hmm. And that will affect your ability when you practice.
Okay, well, let's go back to the questions now. So this listener has been taking HRT for 2.5 years to help improve bone density. A recent DEXA scan showed that there was a slight improvement after years of continuing deterioration. That's good news. Mm-hmm. But they say, is it true that once you get to my age, 62, that the benefit of HRT for bone density declines?
Oh, that's a really good question. The answer to that is absolutely not. So while a DEXA scan x-ray is a way of monitoring the development or the progress of your osteopenia, osteoporosis, it is not, it's not gold standard, in as far as there's a lot of other moving pieces when it comes to bone quality, not just mineralization, which mm-hmm. is what the DEXA scan shows. So we know from the moment you go on estrogen, your bones are getting stronger, regardless of what your DEXA shows. So while it's kind of fun to see a little bit of an improvement in those numbers, I went from -2 to minus whatever the hell, that is not all that's going on.
And is there any other way to tell what benefit she's getting?
Not really. There are some blood tests that look at things like osteoblast activity, osteoclast activity, but really only rheumatologists would do that. GPs wouldn't typically do that. But you can know, even with tiny amounts of estrogen, your bones are benefiting. You can do a lot more for yourself, eating well, making sure your foods are calcium rich, and moving. Weight-bearing exercises for your hips, kind of Pilates, upper body strengthening for your spine, all of that is going to build new bone, and you never need to come off. So if your main purpose in using HRT is to support bone health, you only benefit from it for as long as you take it.
So keep going. Mm. For everybody else, though, is there a finite period of time when they're on HRT and then they come off? Or how does that work?
No. So there used to be this adage in medicine, shortest, lowest amount, shortest duration.
Yeah.
And we would use that with a lot of things like, you know, pain medicine and stuff like that. There isn't a ton of data at the moment, but there is some emerging that the modern body identical natural estrogen and progestogens that we use in current menopause practice actually convey a lot of preventative health benefit, and you benefit from them while you're on it. So there is a new thing now where we're letting the ladies decide, or the individuals, I should say. So you can stay on HRT as long as you want.
Mm-hmm. There's no detrimental effect of doing that.
The only thing we're aware of significantly, and it's not a huge one, but it is a one, and that is breast cancer. So we know from old information that the ladies who were taking the tablet horse's urine estrogen had a slight increase in breast cancer detection rates if they were on HRT for more than 5 years. It's about the same as if you drink a glass of wine a night. That mm-hmm. also increases your breast cancer risk.
Same risk.
Yeah.
Okay, 64-year-old has texted us and says, I still get hot flushes, particularly at night in bed or after eating. Is there anything I can do?
Yeah, go on HRT.
And you're nodding at me as if to say, that's normal.
I'm 63. Every time I try to come off the damn stuff, now part of that is I'm such a baby. I don't want to go through that kind of inevitable weaning off phase. But I'm also aware that a lot of people in my family died from cardiovascular disease. The longer I stay on my HRT, the better my risks are with regard to cardiovascular disease. Mm-hmm. So my feeling is if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, so if that woman is not on HRT, you're saying?
It's never too late to start. The only preclusion there, or the guidelines there, is that the benefit you get for the heart only kicks in if you start HRT within 10 years of your final period. So if you're over 60, or if it's been more than 10 years since you ever had any natural estrogen coming out of your ovary, while you'll definitely get symptom relief, she'll get symptom relief, she may not get the same heart protection as, say, I do. Mm-hmm. Been on it for 19 years.
But her ambition might just be to get rid of the hot flushes.
And that's perfectly legitimate. Yeah. Like, I've heard ladies gaslit before saying, oh, you're 60, you can't go on, it's too dangerous. Rubbish. It's never dangerous. It's never dangerous. But you got to tiptoe in there. So if I meet somebody, as I did recently, who's 70 and still getting a little bit of flushes and sweats and sleep disruption, I'm like, of course you're going HRT, but we're going to go super, super low dose. Like, I don't want to rock that boat with a big dose,
right.
You know? Yeah.
Okay, but it's never too late.
Never too late.
So this one, this message says, if blood work shows normal estrogen levels, but the person is experiencing many perimenopause symptoms, what can they do? The GP says the estrogen patches aren't necessary.
Okay, I would disagree. So the actual guidelines for general practitioners are people with symptomatic menopause get to make their own decision about HRT. So GP is wrong, patient is right. Blood tests have no place in menopause diagnosis unless the lady is under, say, 45. Mm-hmm. Then we're thinking, uh-oh, could there be serious hormonal imbalances here? But anybody going through perimenopause will almost certainly have a normal estrogen level. That's not where the symptoms are coming from. It's the fluctuation of the estrogen. If she took blood from that same woman 2 hours later, chances are she'd get a completely different number. So that GP needs to do her homework.
Okay, so that woman can have HRT.
In fact, most of my patients would have normal estrogen. If they were, say, under 50 and I was foolish enough to waste your money as a taxpayer on an estrogen level, which should not be done, they'd probably be normal. I'd still treat her.
Okay, so when you're offered that blood test to test your estrogen, are you saying to people, look...
That's not the guidelines. That's not how the diagnosis is made. It's made by symptoms alone.
Okay.
And the only time blood tests are really kind of important is when you suspect there's a premature menopause. You'd have a woman who's getting big gaps in her periods, getting lots of menopause symptoms. If she's under 40, 45, I'm going to grab some blood tests and estradiol is going to be one of them.
Okay.
But that's the only time I would do it.
And of course, you're dealing with some women who have menopause symptoms very early on.
Oh, that's where
20s.
I'm going now when I leave you. I have my POI, so premature ovarian insufficiency is when you lose your estrogen level under the age of 40, which is actually quite a catastrophic situation. Even though the symptoms may not be that bad, the outcome, the potential for harm is enormous. Those ladies get broken bones and heart attacks way too young if you don't replace the estrogen. And we need to impress that upon them, that using HRT, say in your 40s, 50s, 60s, it's an option. It's your choice. That's all that matters. But when you're 19, when you're 25, you need sex hormone. I don't care which sex hormone it is, you know, but you need sex hormone. Otherwise, you are going to be unwell in later life. So they need a little bit of estrogen. Same as if a young boy had a testicular hormone deficiency, you would have to replace that testosterone. Mm-hmm.
Okay, for lots of different reasons, as you say.
Most of them we never know. It's idiopathic, they say. Most of the girls that come into me, they don't know why this happened to them. I don't know why this happened to them. Sometimes it's as a result of cancer therapies, like, you know, radiotherapy, chemotherapy. Sometimes they've had to have their ovaries removed because there's a gene in their family for ovary cancer. And we got to watch those ladies because sometimes that same gene can expose them to breast cancer risk too. So I have a significant number of people who've had both their breasts and their ovaries removed because of strong cancer mutation, gene mutations. And those poor critters need their estrogen ASAP.
Okay. Now let's go to the next one. How long is it permissible to start HRT after a hysterectomy? So what is the
I would say
gap?
In the recovery suite. Like, there is no, a lot of people wake up and they're flushing and sweating already and they think it's the sedation, it's the anesthetic, but it's actually. And even if they leave your ovaries behind, you can still get menopause disruption after a hysterectomy because the girls all work as a team down there. And when you interfere with the one, you often get disruption in the others.
Well, this woman has had a hysterectomy 10 years ago.
Oh, she should have been put on it. Well, if she had symptoms, she should have been offered HRT.
Okay, not too late to start now.
Never too late.
Never
to start.
Too late. Okay, so next one, I got a Mirena fitted a year and a half ago at the age of 46, which is the contraceptive coil,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Period completely went after 3 months, which was great because I suffered from low iron.
Good.
Now it's like my period is coming back. Is this normal? I'm not on HRT yet. Is it a sign that I need to start?
No. So if you're getting a Mirena inserted for heavy bleed control, as that lady did, as opposed to just pure contraception, the reason we love that device so much is because it shuts down bleeding. But the problem is the hormone payload dissipates as the years evolve. So the first year or so that you wear a Mirena, you're getting about 20 micrograms a day. The next year, it's about 12, and then it goes down as it ages. So it may be that the dose coming out of her current Mirena is sliding a bit and her periods are being allowed peak back through because she's still young and she's still menstruating. If they're still light and manageable, do nothing. But if they're getting heavy again, she could either go on some kind of oral supplemental therapy to control bleeding, or she could get a new Mirena, whatever she wants herself.
The average lifespan of the Mirena, though?
Well, it depends. So if you're using it for bleeding relief, bleed control, you leave it in for as long as it's working, essentially. I mean, up to 8 or 10 years, generally, is the recommendation. For contraception, it's always 8 years. Longer if you're over 45 when they popped it in because you're older. And then HRT is the tightest one. You can only use it as the progestogen part of your HRT for 5 years. After that, you either get a new Mirena or you put yourself on oral progestogen.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that debate over the last couple of weeks about the pain that some women experience when they're having those devices fitted and how that's not taken into account
medical
professionals.
So I am part of 3 hospital-based services, the Rotunda, the Coombe, Hollis Street, where all we do is fit coils with local anesthetic because people have had very unpleasant experiences, or maybe they've never given birth vaginally, or maybe they've had surgery where there's some scar tissue on their cervix and they would benefit from a Mirena, but they would very much like not to be traumatized in the process.
Yes.
Now, I can't say that we are pain-free. It hurts. It hurts like a bad period when you get a Mirena in. Some women barely feel it, and others, it's catastrophic. And all I can say is, if you are on that table and someone is about to put a Mirena in and they test, as they always do, to see how sore it is, and it's sore, you say, stop, and come and see one of us in the specialty clinics.
Mm-hmm.
They're non-catchment areas. You can... certainly in Hollis Street, in the National Maternity, you can come from
It's
wherever.
Really important to say that. You don't have
you
to
put up with
that. You
should not put up with pain. Say stop. You're in charge.
Okay. This listener is 58. Will taking estrogen help my libido? Because it has totally diminished.
Well, you know what? It depends on why your libido is struggling. So if your libido is struggling because you can't sleep at night and you feel like crap and your whole general well-being is poor and HRT helps to improve that, well, then indirectly, you could get a boost. So libido is such a complicated issue that it's hard to know where it's coming from. If your libido is depleted, is going downhill because of menopause hormone changes, it's less likely that estrogen will benefit, and you're more likely to get a little bit of a kick from testosterone. And we do that all the time, particularly with my young girls, like the girls I'll see today. It would be very rare that I wouldn't offer each and every one of them testosterone as well, because that's an essential female hormone. We don't make a ton of it in quantity, but the bit we make, we like, and it mainly does help with sex drive. Okay. So
that might be something for that person
she
to
discuss
explore.
That with her prescriber, yeah.
I have very bad joint pain. I have a renal artery aneurysm. Can I take HRT?
Ideally, she should talk to somebody like me first, but the answer is probably yes, okay?
Probably yes.
Probably yes. So when anybody's got any kind of complicated vascular or renal thing or cardiac thing, the general consensus is maybe you should talk to a menopause specialist before you start your HRT. But, you know, not knowing all of her moving parts, broad strokes, yeah, of course she can try it.
Okay. Hard to get to see you, though.
Well,
isn't
no,
it?
Not me personally, but there are 6 clinics. Thank you, Stephen, for the 6 publicly funded menopause clinics around Ireland. So, yep. Depending on where her area is.
So, ask your GP to refer you to a menopause clinic in one of the public hospitals.
Exactly. A lady told me the other day it was her had to tell the GP that these clinics exist. And the GP was like, oh, okay, I'll send you in there. Like,
great.
She'd never heard of it.
Well,
so.
Look, whatever works, whatever route works. Now, this is going to drive you mad now, because this is another person who's been told that they're okay, they're grand, and they don't feel
if
grand.
If we do nothing else today. You know, we could say, if you're not getting the answer you want, ask another doctor.
Yeah. Okay. What would you advise me to do and keep me sane? This listener is 61. I'm still suffering terrible night sweats. I was taken off HRT last November because my GP said there was no need anymore.
What's their name? I want to know their... Text me later.
The night sweats are getting in between me and my sleep. Even sometimes I've had to take sleeping tablets. I still wake up with a very wet body. My hair is soaking. This cannot be right. My bloods were taken in March this year and all seemed okay. Right, go.
Find yourself a doctor who you can talk to, who's actually read an article or gone to one of my lectures or any of the other phenomenal lectures. We've just reinvigorated the Menopause Society of Ireland. Our big inaugural scientific day is on the 14th of September. And you can go to any doctor who's engaged, and they will know that was wrong advice you got, or a well woman or a family planning clinic. You say, Deirdre Lundy said I can go back on HRT, and they'll put you back on HRT.
Good. You should be back on HRT.
Of course she should.
And that will likely solve that problem.
She'd come
for
off
her.
Too soon.
Yeah. Menopause symptoms have just begun. I'm considering starting HRT, says this listener. Though my mother died of breast cancer, she was 85 when the cancer occurred. Does this put me in an at-risk group? Is there an alternative for maintaining bone health? That's their main concern.
So the first question is that is not a contraindication. So strong family history of breast cancer means you got to watch yourself. And what we mean by strong is mom or sister, so first degree relative, under the age of 40.
Okay.
So a little old lady that gets breast cancer is almost normal. We all will probably get breast cancer if we live long enough. It is the commonest female cancer. But for her personally, does that highly increase her own personal risk? Absolutely not. And even if it did, she could still have a discussion around HRT. Now, are there alternatives for bone protection and stuff? Of course there are. What do you think? That's what we do with the girls with the breast cancer. We got to watch their bones. We got to watch their heart with other strategies. But again, you'd want to talk to somebody like a good doctor, good GP who knows all of their women's health.
Okay, now we're nearly at the end, but I just one more that I want to include here because I think this is important. This listener is looking for advice for people who experienced a medically induced menopause. In my own case, she says, following a breast cancer diagnosis at 35, I can't take HRT. I'm still struggling with symptoms 11 years later. I consider myself healthy. I'm eating well. I rarely drink and I exercise daily.
Yeah, so she's the kind of person we want to see in our services. That's who we deal with. 80% of my referrals are from breast cancer, patients with breast cancer in their history or currently. So there are loads of ways to control symptoms of the menopause, as well as looking after your future health after you've been treated for breast cancer that has put you in a high-risk category. We don't have a ton of data to say that going on HRT is going to bring that cancer back or let it spread. But obviously, with an abundance of caution, we try to avoid HRT wherever we can after breast cancer until we have more information. Mm-hmm. So she is the person for whom these services is perfectly set up. So ask her GP for a referral to her local complex menopause clinic.
So you're saying there are other options for that person to manage the symptoms she's experiencing?
Absolutely. That's all, what I do all week long.
Okay, don't put up with it. That's the message.
Make some noise, girls. Yeah. Rattle the pram.
It's really simple. Don't put up with it. I wish everybody had a Deirdre Lundy to speak to. Deirdre, thank you so much. Lovely to see you.
My pleasure.
We could keep going, but look, we'll have you back. Thank you so much for coming in. That's Dr. Deirdre Lundy. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.